Boar's Head is bringing a slice of Japan to the deli. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki-style chicken. Tender, slow-roasted chicken breast, coated in our signature teriyaki glaze, where ginger, garlic, and a hint of brown sugar meet for a flavor that's both sweet and savory. New Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki-style chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Only from Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.
What's up, everybody? It's IBS Yeezus coming at you guys with the first episode of Head to Head. It's a PTI-based episode between me and Cody Stewart. We're going to run through eight topics that we've picked out from this week's, happenings in sport. We'll try to stay on topic as long as we can. It's 30 minutes. Each topic is going to run us about 3 minutes, and when it's my turn to speak or his turn to speak, after a minute and a half, you'll hear a tap. We'll stop talking. At the end of the 3 minutes, you'll get a sound. That means we're switching topics, okay? So we'll go ahead and get the first one started. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Alan?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. First topic, one left in the chamber. Do the Spurs have what it takes to win tonight in OKC, and do they have what it takes to close out this series? Cody, you're on the clock.
No doubt about it. The Spurs, they are a well-oiled machine. Pop has his team playing great like he has the last decade and a half. The last 9 years, not counting this year, but the last 9 years, the Spurs have made it to the Western Conference five times, and as far as just a this team, I think, besides the Warriors, I feel like this team is a team that is fully rested. I understand that we're into the second round of the playoffs, but you look at Tim Duncan as far as the regular season goes. He didn't play in 21 out of the 82 games. Ginobili didn't play in 24 out of the 82 games. So this team is well rested. I feel like they can definitely close it out. I think the game is in San Antonio tonight. And, I mean, the Spurs in the regular season went 40-1 with that one loss coming to the Warriors. OKC away, 23-18. I know playoff time ramps up. Everybody's ready to play harder than what they did in the regular season. So I think it's going to be a good game tonight. But I think the Spurs take it tonight. And I think they actually close it on the road in OKC game 6 on Thursday.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are actually going to win, and I'm not just saying that just to say it. The Spurs look old. They look real old, man, and I'm just tired of watching them play. I'm tired of watching Pop make these simple mistakes with the rotations and with pretty much he just looks like he's disinterested at times. He didn't call the timeout in the second game, which I think pretty much cost them the game in the end. And he also, the other night, sat out he sat out Aldridge and Kawhi for almost 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. And then the Thunder went on a 12-2 run. And at no point did Pop look like he was really trying to stop that 12-2 run. Now, I don't know if it's a method to his madness or what, but OKC is a young team. They got a lot of momentum on their side. They got a lot of energy on their side. And I think that's ultimately what wins this series for them, is that they're just going to have more energy than the Spurs. The Spurs just look old, man. The only one who's really balling is LaMarcus Aldridge. And we got Kawhi Leonard getting stopped by Deion Waiters. It's just not looking good for them. If they don't win tonight, it's definitely going to end one of those nights in OKC. So they got to win tonight. I'm not sure why it's OKC tonight. I thought they had three home games, and I don't know how the NBA does their scheduling anymore. But that's pretty much what I got on them as far as how I think the series is going to play out. So I'm going to hit the button on myself. All right, switching over to our next topic. We're talking about Long Live the King. Will the Cavs sweep all the way to the finals?
You know, I feel like the Cavs could do that, no doubt about it. You look at them playing against Detroit in the first round and Atlanta in the second round. Atlanta made it a tougher series than what Detroit did, in my opinion, but you know, the Cavs still prevailed, swept both teams. Then you look at who they will play, either be Toronto or either be Miami. And these two teams, you know, they've been playing tough against one another. But at the same time, I mean, this series could very well go 7. We know it's at least going to go 6 games because it's tied at 2-2. But this could very well go 7. The Cavaliers are getting rest. I don't think either of these teams match up well with the Cavaliers. LeBron's playing great. Kevin Love is playing good. Kyrie Irving is playing great. So either team that makes it, I think the Cavs sweep them and they go on to the finals to play either the Spurs or Golden State.
I mean, there's really not much we can say on this topic, to be honest with you. The East is trash. It's exactly what everybody's been saying all along, all year. I'm sorry, I cannot for the life of me be entertained by the Heat and Raptors games. It's disgusting, man. I look at every overtime, and I'm wondering to myself, Dwayne Wade, why didn't you do this 5 minutes ago? You could have spared us. There are people in the stands checking their phones in overtime because they want to know what's going on in Golden State. They don't even want to watch the game. I'm trying to figure out how they keep selling out these arenas with this boring game. And everybody who talks about 90s basketball, if you want 90s basketball, you're seeing it right now between the freaking Raptors and Heat, and it sucks. It's not entertaining. The NBA is probably sitting at home right now, or Adam Silver is sitting at home right now trying to figure out how do I rig this so that it becomes entertaining? How can we end this in three games instead of four? Is there any way we can get away with that? So hopefully, I pray that the Raptors do not advance, because they will most definitely get swept. I don't think that the Heat get swept by the Cavs, simply because at one point LeBron's going to have some sympathy for Dwayne Wade and give him at least one ring.
Quick question to you, though. Do you think that, say, Boston would have beat Toronto in the first round, do you think that the Boston-Miami series would have been better?
No, because Boston was awful. I talked about it on my NBA podcast the other day. I think they were one of the worst shooting teams in the playoffs. They actually shot worse than the freaking Raptors, and the Raptors shot 28% from three-point in, like, low 30s. In their first round series. So I can imagine it getting any better for Boston. So that's all I got to say on that. All right, switching over to my sport. To pitch or not to pitch? That is the question. After a series where the Cubs walked Bryce Harper 13 times, one time resulting in him reaching base six times without actually recording a hit, is it time for MLB to overhaul the rules for their offense's sake?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's really not much they can do. I mean, that's a part of the game. You know, you can intentionally walk whoever you want to or anything like that. I mean, I understand the move. I mean, I remember when watching Barry Bonds, when he was chasing 73 or the record for home runs in a single season, everybody was walking him. And, I mean, it is a smart move by a pitcher, but at the same time, if you're going against a powerhouse as far as offense goes, I mean, that could turn deadly. And I feel like with Bryce Harper, you constantly walking him, he can turn a walk into a double, meaning he's a fast guy. He gets intentionally walked. He can easily make it to second on the field. So he's already set up in scoring position. And I think he bats third in the lineup, and I cannot for the life of me think of who bats fourth, but fourth batter time in lineups are the cleanup hitters. So, I mean, the cleanup hitters' numbers are going to go up. Bryce Harper, I feel like he's going to be able to score runs. So they can keep trying this, but I think in the grand scheme of things, it's going to hurt the teams that keep intentionally walking Bryce Harper.
Nats suck. I'm going to say that right now. They suck. They embody everything that's wrong with DC sports. They're really good during the regular season at times, and then they suck when it comes to the playoffs. They're not a team to win a championship. I don't understand why this is an issue. Bryce gets walked. Like, what do you expect? You crown the kid, young Barry Bonds, and then he gets walked every other at-bat, and then everybody starts crying. The rules don't need to change. You know what needs to change? The freaking lineup needs to change. If you want them to hit, protect them. You can't protect him with Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan Zimmerman was 2-for-15, I think, in that last series or something like that. He's old. He's worn. He's been great for the Nationals from the start of their franchise to now, and that's awesome. Take him out back. Put him down, okay? There's nothing wrong with putting him down. He's not a prototypical cleanup hitter. That's just what they're missing. And I know they don't want to put Murphy in the four spot because – he's not a prototypical four hitter either, but they need to switch up the lineup. Murphy's batting like 400 or something like that, something crazy. So why not put him in the three spot, move Bryce to clean up? Maybe he won't get walked. Maybe put Worth behind him, who's a tad bit better, in my opinion, at hitting with runners in scoring position. But until they figure out what to do with that lineup, it's just going to continue to be like this because it's a winning formula when you play this team. And speaking on behalf of somebody who can't stand the Washington Nationals, every time Bryce Harper gets walked, I laugh on the inside because he gets that much closer to leaving D.C.
That's very true. But you know what? Quick.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, you can't go past the buzzer, man.
Gotcha.
Save it for overtime. All right, switching topics. Big 12 plus 2. Should the Big 12 expand, and if so, who should join them?
The Big 12 is definitely the conference in each league. We've seen, you know, the Pac-12, well, they've expanded. You've seen the Big Ten expand, ACC. All the power conferences have expanded, and they all have championship games to determine who wins the conference. The Big 12 has to do this immediately. As far as teams coming, we all know, as far as football goes, or really any sport in general, it's all about the money. So for the Big 12, they go as far east as West Virginia and as far west as Texas, technically, because it's basically a straight line. But as far as teams to come, I mean, they're obviously going to look at the markets, the media markets, and what can bring in money. So why not stay in Texas and bring in Houston? From the American Athletic Conference. Houston is actually the 10th biggest media market in the U.S. Now, as far as the second team to bring in, as far as competition goes, why not Memphis? Also bring them from the AAC. Or you could go another route and go Central Florida, which is basically in Orlando, and they're the 19th biggest media market. A move that I would really like to see, which I know it won't happen because they're an independent school, but why not bring Notre Dame to the Big 12? Imagine seeing Notre Dame play Oklahoma once a year or Texas once a year. I think that would really, really bring the Big 12 up from where they are right now.
Yeah, I agree with basically what you're saying. Is they definitely need to expand, and I'm sick of this every single year, it seems, or basically every year that a Big 12 team is right on the edge of making a national championship, or in this case, right on the edge of making the playoffs, they complain at the end of the year. But everybody has one extra game, basically. They all have one extra game for the most part. So you can't get mad. Just make the adjustment, people. It's not hard. Just make the adjustment. Chances of a Big 12 team getting to the playoffs increases by 10 to 15% just by adding that one game. Now, we're talking revenue. They're going to get more money because they're going to get more exposure once they get to the playoffs. But I think Houston would be great because I like Houston. I like Herman. I like the program. I like what he's doing. But I don't think they want a real competitive team to come in and overshadow these other teams in that conference. I don't know if they really want to go that route. Plus, they've already got Texas Tech, you know, they kind of saturated the Texas market. So I'm going to roll with Central Florida coming in. They're a rebuilding program, and there's also an untapped area, almost in SEC country, basically. It will help the Big 12 expand with their recruiting as well, as they get more exposure in that particular area. The next team, I think, they should grab is Cincinnati because they're a good football school and they're a decent basketball school. They got a little prestige in their programs there. So they won't necessarily overshadow, but it'll make up for the fact that they're going to add Central Florida, who is definitely a cupcake right now because they pretty much just got their program back, or they're in the middle of rebuilding that program. So, I mean, if it's a money issue, they've got to make it work. That would be the timer. And everybody listening, I promise you, we're going to polish this up next time. Switching topics. The end of an era. Are we seeing the last days of ESPN, or at least the ESPN that we've grown to love? Should we be concerned that everybody that we know is leaving?
You know, that's a good question, and how you just to really decide which way ESPN is going. You know, if you think about our parents or whatever, they were used to seeing one thing, then that changed, and we grew up, and we were used to seeing something different, and now that's changing. So our kids will see something different as far as anything goes. But, I mean, to see the names that are leaving, you know, that, I mean, that's come out probably in the last, like, 2 months. You know, you have Mike Tirico, which I feel like is huge for them to lose. I know he's going to NBC, and NBC is really getting a true talent there. Also, they're losing Skip Bayless, who cares, Ray Lewis, Chris Carter, Mike Ditka, and I think Keyshawn Johnson is gone as well. So the whole NFL Sunday is going to be totally different on Countdown because, you know, you're looking at three or four of those guys that are on the set with Berm and I can't think of his other name. They're gone, so they're gonna have to redo it. But I feel like losing to Rico, I mean, he covers everything on ESPN. Football, basketball, he does golf. I mean, he does everything. So I think ESPN is definitely starting to sink. You're starting to see Fox Sports come up, NBC is coming up. So losing these guys and having them going to other people or other competitors, it's gonna hurt ESPN in the long run.
ESPN is never going away. It's such a brand. It's such a symbol of sports. I don't think it's ever going to officially be gone. It is somewhat of a blow that somebody like Tirico left, because, like you said, he was well-rounded. But, I mean, they still got plenty of following. I think they've got it kind of embedded in most minds of people who watch sports, that they're the number one source for sports entertainment and sports news in the world. With that being said, some of these cuts that they've made, like Keyshawn and Chris Carter, Ray Lewis, like, they're not going to really miss those guys. I don't think they really brought a lot to the table. I think we tend to over-exaggerate their impact on the episodes because of their, like, careers. But as far as, like, pretty much breaking down the game, giving us actual football knowledge, I don't think they really did any of that. And the whole Chris Carter fall guy thing, I was surprised that he actually survived that. And then they're all aging too, which they're not getting younger. I think ESPN is transitioning to a younger group, and they're trying to get more hip and more knowledgeable with the way they analyze and stuff. Another one that might hurt them is Trent Dilfer. He was pretty symbolic as well with his camp that he had. Time myself. That's terrible. All right. Switching over to our next topic, baby boomer. Antonio Cromartie is expecting his 11th and 12th child, I believe. 11 and 12. How long before we see him with his own Friday Night Tykes team?
Man, this is about to be probably the quickest question that we have all night, because I'm almost speechless. This is crazy, man. Honestly, and I think the craziest part about the story is he had a vasectomy a few years ago, and now somehow his wife or girlfriend or whatever is pregnant, so might want to get some tests done on that one. But, you know, he's going to be playing for a while, and I mean, you know, even if he doesn't catch on to a team in a few years or whatever, he's going to be doing something, coaching, anything, because having that many kids to pay for is crazy. I'm pretty sure he's going to be coaching up his sons to try to get to the NFL so they can repay him back on some of the money. But wasn't it a few years ago he had to ask for it in advance from the Jets, pay on, like, back child support or something like that? So, I mean, 11 and 12, well, 12 kids, that's crazy, man. I'm speechless.
Black Brady Bunch. That's all I got. Black Brady Bunch. Maybe that's what he was going for. I mean, he's got 12 kids, 12 children. My friend texted me the other day and told me he's having a baby boy. And he told me the other day that he calculated it, that apparently on average it's about $3,000 a year just on diapers alone, just for one child. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said his calculations were. Can you imagine that for 12 children? 12 children. That's a lot of diapers
crazy
to change, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of diapers to change. That's all I got, man. Black Brady Bunch, a lot of diapers to change. I salute you, Cromartie. May you forever play football, because you're going to need the money. That was a little delayed. Our next topic, we're back on Bryce Harper. Time or money? Last night, Bryce Harper was ejected from the game in the ninth inning and returned to celebrate, which is against the rules, returned to celebrate with his team after a walk-off home run, and decided to yell how much he loved the umpire and his umpiring ability. Should he be fined or suspended? Should he be fined and suspended? Should nothing happen?
Well, definitely something has to happen, no doubt about it. You can take the nothing happening out of the equation. I feel like he does need to be suspended. Number one, the first part that you said, it's against the rules. Because I think he got ejected. So, you know, you're not supposed to be in the clubhouse, and he was, and he went on the field, and he celebrated with his team, which, I mean, I understand that, but still, it's against the rules. And then just to egg on the situation even more, cursing at the umpire. So, you know, some people are saying that people are making a big deal out of this, but it really is a big deal because no matter who you are, you can be Bryce Harper, you could be, you know, the utility guy on the team. If anything like this happens, no matter how big or small you are in the profession of baseball, you need to be suspended. Fine-wise, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know the exact number he needs to get fined for, but I would say a one-game suspension, maybe two, and, I don't know, $30,000.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think he should be suspended in this case, all right? Probably fined and suspended. I'll say that. He should be fined and suspended. He should be fined for yelling an explicit that you can clearly read what he said. You can read it. He should be fined for that just in general. Just because baseball is trying to get back to the mainstream. They got a little image that they're trying to uphold. We got enough issues with PEDs, man. We don't need the make baseball great again guy out here telling the umps, you know, read between the lines and stuff like that. And plus, it's technically, it should be more or less two violations. And he came back on the field after he was tossed, which I think is automatic suspension anyway, or you should be suspended for that. But it's how he carried himself in the interview afterwards, kind of nonchalant, not really apologetic, more or less being like, well, it's the ump's fault type thing. You know, he was talking about how he was kind of singled out and he wasn't saying anything and the ump just tossed him out or the ump instigated. I don't know. All I know is that if you're going to act like that, you should expect some type of consequence. And if Bryce Harper is going to get away with it, if nothing happens to Bryce Harper, you're just going to set off a chain reaction. Umpires deal with a lot of crap from players and coaches and fans in general. The last thing they need is for players' behavior of that nature to go unchecked. David Ortiz was another guy who flipped out and cursed out an ump. He was kind of warranted, but once he was asked to leave and he left the field, he didn't come back on the field. And I think that's the real issue here is that there seems to be no regard for the actual rules. And for our last topic, challenge to the crown. Steph Curry is the unanimous, undisputed, all-world, all-NBA, everything this year, MVP. Is this well-deserved, or should somebody else have won?
Well-deserved. No doubt about it. Now, you know, depending on who you ask, when you hear most valuable player, many people say, well, if Steph wasn't on the team, would the Warriors still be good? Yeah, they would be good. If you take LeBron off the Cavaliers, would they still have the success that they do? I don't know. That's hard to say. But, I mean, seeing what this guy did this year was remarkable. 402 three-pointers made this year. He shot 45% behind the arc. The crazy thing is he shattered his record from last year. He had 286 threes last year. He shattered it this year by shooting 116 more and making them. He averaged 30 points a game, shot 50% altogether, averaged close to 7 assists a game and 5 rebounds. Those are very, very good numbers for a point guard. You know, like I said, with Steph off this team, I mean, the Warriors would still be good, but he just makes this team one of the best to ever play in the history of basketball. Just seeing what he does on the court and seeing how much involved everybody else is on the court when he's on the court, he makes everybody better, and that's why the Warriors are having the success that they are this year because of Steph Curry.
If you don't like Steph Curry, you got issues. I'm just going to put it out there. You probably got daddy issues or something. Like, there's no reason for anybody not to like Steph Curry, man. Like, you don't have to like him, like, admire him and anything like that. I don't expect you to jump on him like everybody jumped on LeBron. But you got to respect the man's body of work so far. He is peaking. He's peaking. And he's not just peaking. He's getting better and better and probably better. I don't know if he's reached his ceiling yet, honestly. I don't know. And he went from being just the scorer that everybody thought he was to a great distributor. He's always had decent handles to just being the only thing he really can work on is his defense. His team won 73 games. He was a major part of that. He got Luke Walton a freaking coaching gig. You know what I'm saying? Luke Walton was looking like the best coach in the NBA with Steph Curry at point guard and the team that he had. And it's just stupid to me that people keep trying to break down Steph Curry's small body work that he's done as not being MVP worthy. How is he not MVP worthy? He took a team to beat the best player in the NBA. Like, LeBron James has beaten good teams. He's dominated good teams by himself. Somehow Steph Curry and these light-skinned guys figured out a way to work around it, and they're dominating. They're dominating. When they're healthy, they're dominating. So I feel like... All right, I feel like for my overtime, I'm going to use it on Steph Curry because I wasn't done. So for my overtime, I'm rocking with this Steph Curry thing. Again, if you don't like Steph Curry, you've got daddy issues. You need to cut it out. You need to stop. You need to go somewhere and watch the Golden State Warriors currently. You need to go back and watch that game last night. I see guys who say, oh, Steph, he's not an MVP. His team won without him. His team can win series without him. No, they cannot. They cannot. If you're going to count crap teams like the freaking Trailblazers and the Houston Rockets, then yeah, anybody can win. But Steph Curry or the Warriors without Steph Curry, they're not beating the Spurs. They're not beating the Thunder. They're definitely not beating LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They need Steph Curry. They need him. They needed him last night. He had to drop 40. They were down 16. He took them into overtime and won the game for them, coming off the bench. Come on, man. What more does he have to do to get some respect? I don't understand. Man, I'm about to go Birdman. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say it no more. I ain't going to say it no more. You go ahead, man. What you got to say?
All right. Well, I'm a piggyback on the Steph Curry thing. It's just a quick question for you, and do answer it. Did you hear – I forgot what game it was. It might have been game two of the series. The Blazers. Did you hear? I think it was Jeff Van Gundy, when he said, if you swapped players, Damian Lillard and Steph Curry, if you swapped them to put them on the other team, are you really missing much? Like, clearly you're missing much, man. I mean, Dame is a good ball player, but he's not at Steph level at all. Do you have any thoughts
on
that?
You know what? I'm going to give him a pass because. I will give him a pass because my man Doc Rivers, when Steph Curry got hurt, I think my man Doc Rivers was like, oh, they'll be fine. They're a good team. I remember when we played without Kendrick Perkins. So I'm going to give him a pass.
Yeah.
It's out there. He said something to that nature.
He pretty much
referenced Kendrick Perkins, like the Celtics losing Kendrick Perkins to the Warriors losing Steph Curry. So I'm gonna let it slide, and if anybody wants to fact check me on that, go ahead. I would love to be proven wrong off of that because I judged him instantly. I was like, Doc has finally went senile. He's finally went senile. They drove him crazy. So if you want to fact check me on that, go for it. But I'll give Van Gundy, I'll give him a pass. Hopefully Mark Jackson corrected him because they usually work together. I hope he corrected him because that is stupid.
That is very stupid.
Go ahead.
How much time I have left?
We've got 10 minutes left on the clock.
All right. I was just going to say, when we were talking about ESPN, I couldn't think about the other guy's name on Countdown. I feel horrible about that because he's one of my favorites. Tom Jackson was the other guy I was thinking about. And then getting back to the Big 12 expansion, you know, it's, I know you had said something about, like, they probably don't want to make it too competitive, so they might not bring Houston in there. But I feel like, as far as a defensive standpoint for Texas or the Big 12 and the state of Texas, they need to bring Houston in because when the top five conferences, the Power Five, when they eventually expand to where that is all it is in college football, if the Big 12 does not get Houston and just say the SEC does, you're saying that the SEC is going to have a pool now to go into in Texas and try to bring even more players from that state to their conference. And then finally on Bryce Harper, as far as him getting walked, just a quick stat. He's been walked 15 times in the last five games, and in those five games, the Nationals are 1-4. So obviously this little defensive mechanism as far as intentionally walking Bryce Harper, it is working. I do understand that they did go against the Cubs, and the Cubs are the hottest team and the best team in the major leagues right now. But maybe these teams are on to something, and they're trying to go ahead and knock out probably one of the best players in the game right now early.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what the rule is when you intentionally walk guys. And Barry Bonds was asked about it today, and he made a great point. Basically, I think they had Jeff Kent batting behind him, and he was like, you know, when Kent was hitting, it didn't work out too well for people, and when he wasn't hitting, it worked out great. He was like, so you just really need the guy behind him to step up. So I don't know if he was aware that Ryan Zimmerman was the guy behind him, but it's just a way of opposing teams to exploit the Nationals' flaws, and they've got a couple flaws, and it just so happens that their flaws are something that actually caused them to lose games. They're so built around Bryce Harper's production that, in all honesty, they don't really get anything out of anybody else. So if he doesn't get it going, he doesn't get on base with a hit, double, hit a guy in, or hit a home run himself, even though they score runs, they don't score enough to win. And I think that's the thing that teams realize. It's like, okay, well, we'll just work around Bryce Harper. We want everybody else to beat us. And that's essentially what you do in any sport. When you have a dominant athlete, you try to take him out the game and force his teammates to step up and beat you. And right now the Nationals don't have enough to do that. With the expansion thing, that was a great point, actually. I didn't even think about that. They probably don't want Houston to go to another conference. But some of the material I was reading, they were talking about how it's such a saturated market because of Texas Tech in Texas that they don't necessarily want Houston because they're not going to gain anything financially from the market, you know, the television right. market, I guess, in that area. So that's probably something that they're debating right now. To my knowledge, I think Oklahoma is one of the teams holding up or bent on them not expanding. And I'm not really sure where the other teams fall in line, but I'm pretty sure we'll end up on this topic again. And yeah. then in regards to your OKC and Thunder and Spurs prediction, I had something for it, but I can't find it. It was going to be funny too. Ah, here we go. Yes. Exactly.
Really?
That's how I feel.
Really? Really? All right, well, I'm going to just go ahead and say it now. Spurs win tonight 106-99. Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard combined for 50 points.
What? Aldridge is already going to get – they're going to get 50 off of default because that fool's scoring about 40 a game. But the only reason why he didn't hit 30 is because Pop fell asleep and left him on the bench the fourth quarter for half of it. They're old, man. Get these old dudes out of here. You know what? I'm changing sides again. Get these old dudes out of here, man. Let OKC go play the Warriors so we can finally get an entertaining, fast-paced series because everything else is just a mismatch or boring. I bet not hear not one NBA fan talk to me about entertainment factor because their entertainment factor in the playoffs this year has sucked.
It has, that, no doubt about it.
All right, man, I appreciate you calling in, man. We're going to try to set this up where we do it at least once a week. I work two jobs. Cody's got a family, so we're going to work around those things and try to meet in the middle somewhere, but we're going to get you a head-to-head at least once a week. By all means, I'm going to put this on the website. I'm going to promote it as much as I can. Send us topics, inbox us, post on Facebook and tag us. You can email me, ibsjesus@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, at ActivelyLazy85, or you can tweet our main handle, which is at Iconobomb. But I definitely want to get some help on some of these topics, and you can hear our thoughts on them. Cody, you got anything you want to say before you roll out?
You can hit me up on Twitter at cbreeze222. And as Alan said, the site on Twitter, and I can't pronounce it to save my life, so you did a great job doing that. I look forward to doing this again next week. As Alan said, get us some topics in, make it real entertaining. Maybe we'll go back and forth, have a banner. Might get into a fight like McGregor and Mayweather. And that's a joke because that's never going to happen. But we'll see.
All right, we're out.
Caller, let me help you.
My roommate has been wearing my clothes. What should I do?
Go to AT&T. They're giving you up to $650 in value to help you switch when you trade in your current smartphone and buy a new one on AT&T Next.
Wow, $650? How does that help with my situation?
$650 in value can help you save up for your own place or a really nice deadbolt. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Limited time offer. Each line requires eligible port-in, trade-in, purchase, and service. Get minimum of $10 trade-in credit plus prepaid card and amount of device balance or early termination fee. Less trade-in. Fees, charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.